This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Have you tried going back and playing the games you played as a kid?
We're talking nostalgia overload, fun facts, and seeing if we can remember how to beat games we haven't played in 30 years.
Come join us. Retro Recall is all about nostalgia and reliving those years of zero responsibility.
Each episode, John makes me play a game from our youth, and I challenge him to do something in that game, and then the loser has to try one of the worst games ever made.
It's fun, it's terrible, but most of all, it's a look back at simpler times.
In the first episode, we try Double Dragon 2, and let's just say that John is still having nightmares about some of the terrible games he had to play.
You say that, but I'm not the only one. Ghoul School?
Dear God.
Check out Retro Recall on YouTube and your favorite audio podcast platforms.
There are links in the main show description, or just search Retro Recall.
Retro Recall. Come join us. Games are always better with friends.
Retro Recall.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lore cast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect lore cast. I'm N7 the Legend.
And I'm Genesis. Join us
as we explore along tides of light
and through shoals of dust
to see where this lore began
and consider where it may go.
Spectres, welcome back to another exciting, great, awesome, lore-filled week of the Mass Effect Lorecast. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, Genesis. Genesis, how have you been doing this week?
Things have been going pretty good. Not much to complain about. Middle of the month is always easy for accountants. It's when we get to catch up on everything before we have to start gearing up for end of month.
End of month sucks. And you know what? I think it was like a week ago or just a few days ago that a lot of people in the Northern Hemisphere got a great viewing of the Aurora Borealis, right? Were you able to see that?
I did not. I wasn't able to see it.
Yeah, I wasn't able to. Only because there was clouds overhead. And I took a photo with my phone anyway because it shows up better on the phone for some reason. And you can see the aurora behind the clouds. And I was like super bummed about it. I was so upset. But for everyone that did get to catch that aurora, good for you. I saw it May. I think it was May 2 years ago, right? That was incredible. But anyway, on to our topic for today. We're kind of finally back to a normal lore episode. And this one is one that we actually teased 200 episodes ago. Like, to the episode. It was episode number 24, and it was the Alliance. I think it was just the Alliance episode, the first Alliance episode that we did. And I mentioned the Manswell Expedition. And I said, now this is something that's a cool secret lore bit that eventually we're going to get to. We're just going to have to give it its own episode.
And 200 episodes later, here we are.
Here we are. I promised you all I'd get to it. It just took me a little bit. And now I feel like Bob Saget and How I Met Your Mother. But anyway, this is The Reader's Digest version is that there was a lost human colony, and because its expedition set out before humans discovered FTL travel. So if that intrigues you, you're going to want to listen to the rest of this episode.
Sounds very, very interesting.
Genesis, this is a Cerberus Daily News story that goes on for quite a few entries. So we get it in Mass Effect 2, but it's like in the game, but not really in the game. Like it's, you know, you have to go looking for it. So the first one that came through was back in January 2011. Think, what were you doing January 2011?
I had not started my accounting job yet. My baby was just a couple months old. So I was very much doing the working mom thing.
That was 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. If I had the Inception foghorn sound effect next to me, I'd play it. 14 years ago. Wow. I was a junior in high school. Yeah.
I forget that there's such an age difference between us. Here I am married with a kid working a full-time job and you're a junior in high school.
Buh. Anyway, so we get this dispatch from Cerberus Daily News and it says, Alliance headquarters on Arcturus Station is buzzing about an unusual incident tonight. Information is still sketchy, but it appears Asari explorers have alerted Alliance leadership to a previously unknown colony of humans in the Alpha Centauri system. So this is really cool because this is 2185, and Asari explorers are finding a bunch of humans that apparently no one knew about.
That's crazy. I love that. I love how it's always the Asari that are finding people. So that's a little interesting because they found the Ralloy also. But now we've got a whole human colony that even we were unaware of.
They are kind of the perfect introduction into the Milky Way, sociopolitical sphere, right? Much better than meeting the Turians or the Krogan first or the Batarians or the Vorcha. That'd be bad. So, but the Alpha Centauri system is really close to the local system where Earth is. So it's pretty impressive that no one knew about it. And the dispatch goes on to say that the Asari were monitoring a primitive alien species on a planet in the region when a human party approached and ambushed them, taking at least one Asari scientist prisoner. That sounds like my good old humans, doesn't it?
Yep, first contact war, here we go.
Right, we were just talking about. Now, probably good it was the Asari, not the Turians. Because if that was, can you imagine how this would have gone if that was the Turians?
Oh yeah, I mean, it would have started another war, I believe. Because it's like, okay, here we are, the humans again are acting up, and we're going to have to squash it.
Right, is it a war though, if the Turians just pummeled them from orbit? I feel like they would just erase those humans off the face of whatever planet that is.
Yeah. I have a cyberpunk reference for it, but we can continue on.
Well, what's so interesting is, okay, I'll make the cyberpunk tie-in a little bit later, but we might be on the same brain wavelength. But anyway, it says, rather than intervene and potentially inflame the situation, the Asari contacted Alliance leadership to maintain peace. Okay, that's a responsible thing to do. But as one Alliance source confided, that's easier said than done. The source explained, quote, the thing is, we can't find any record of these people. None. So what are they doing out there? Further details will follow as the situation develops.
I don't know that, man.
Right. They're like, we don't have any record of these people whatsoever. But the thing is, like, they know they're humans. They can't fake that.
True. So they obviously had to come from Earth, but we just don't have any records of them anymore. We don't have any records of any spacefaring humans. Where did we drop the ball?
Right. They're like, what the fork? Can you imagine like that boardroom meeting of all the admirals in the Alliance Navy being like, is this for real? Like, where are these people and how long have they been there? I think that's probably my biggest question, right? How long have they been there?
Mm-hmm. And I would start to question if they truly are humans or just like another humanoid species that developed on their own. You know, Asaris look humanoid. There's a lot of different, like, it's a variation. Maybe the Cro-Magnons started on another planet as well. Because that's how evolution goes.
That's a Prometheus kind of development there. What if they're a shape-shifting goo They just decided to look like humans. Anyway, we get another dispatch back in January 2011. You want to go ahead and read this one for us, Genesis?
Yeah, it comes out the very next day. And Alliance links Lost Colony with the Manswell Expedition of 2070. Surprising details have emerged about the recently discovered human colonists in the Alpha Centauri system who captured an Asari scientist. Alliance ships performed a reconnaissance flight over the planet in question and gathered details about a settlement there. After cross-referencing with Alliance databases, a clearer picture has emerged. An Alliance source explained, "These people are literally a lost colony in every sense of the word. We're 95% certain they originated from the Manswell expedition of 2070.
Victor Manswell. Yes. All right. I forget what the band was that Tom and I came up with. Victor Manswell and the Soul System. Was that it? Victor Manswell. It was a funk band name. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go on.
No, I'm pretty sure that there were also jokes about man swelling and things like that.
Yeah. Interesting naming here.
A background check reveals Victor Manswell was a billionaire who funded his own private spaceflight in the year 2075 after growing frustrated with the pace of official exploration.
I can think of a few billionaires I'd like to send into space, but go on.
I can also think of a few billionaires who are currently trying to do this. So,
I'll follow their lead. How about that?
Yes. Now, predating the use of Mass Effect relays, some 300 people joined the expedition and were placed in cryogenic freeze for the journey. After a successful launch, the colonists were never heard from again. Until today, if Alliance suspicions prove true.
So this is actually pretty impressive. 2070 is when the expedition started. Apparently it launched in 2075. So just around the same time that Liara was born, and 2 years shy of that 2077 from Cyberpunk. But that's interesting because it's before humanity discovers the Charon Relay. It's before humanity discovers Mass Effect physics, and it's before humanity discovers basically everything that provides the foundation for space travel that we know starting in Mass Effect 1.
Yeah, they are taking the old school route of let's just see how far we can fly.
With I kind of like cryo.
That. Yeah. I think it's definitely interesting, and I could see that that's going to be some one step that in the real world is going to be taken just to see how far out we truly can go and what we can discover. I've also been watching a lot of Star Trek, so my brain is in, you know, space exploration and discovery mode. So I like this. I don't like that it's some billionaire who, you know, had to self-fund it in order to do it, but I wonder who these 300 people are and if we're going to find out any more information about them.
I'd venture to guess that there are other that, well, the 300 people now, or how many people are there now? But I would guess that the 300 people that originally joined the expedition were super rich people as well. Or like the family members of super rich people.
Yeah. And a lot of lackeys.
Yes. A lot of lackeys as well. What I find to be very intriguing here is that they successfully thawed from cryogenesis with just the technology that was available in 2075. This is something that we saw in Andromeda with the cryogenesis, right? Where they could go into this cryogenic sleep for 600 years. But even then, there was like significant side effects when they thawed, or if they thawed. And there was this whole, like, that was a pretty big theme of the entire game. So to think that, you know, 110 years before Mass Effect 2, there was already a group of humans who successfully launched, froze, and then thawed, and lived. And then I would guess procreated.
Yeah. Wow. That is so much science to think about in that. I mean, obviously the cryogenics was established and they got it to work somehow. And then I wonder how human they still look, you know? I wonder how long have they been gone?
It's 110 years.
Okay. So
they should still look human.
I wonder how long their journey took. How long were they in cryo?
That's a great point, because it could have been like, you know, 100 of those years, right? So then it's just still the same 300 people, or could have been, you know, 60 of the years. I guess we'll find out. This is the equivalent of if we found out tomorrow that there was a colony of people that we just never knew about on some uncharted island in the Pacific that took off from like a homemade ship in 1915. This is the equivalent of that. We'd be like, holy shit, what? And they've just somehow managed to survive. So yeah, there would be probably a huge media buzz about this in the Mass Effect universe.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Right. So we get another dispatch just a couple days later. And it says, an effort is underway today in the Alpha Centauri system as Alliance specialists work to establish contact with a lost colony of early human explorers who took an Asari scientist prisoner. Mission Commander John Hayes said, quote, as near as we can tell, these people slipped through the cracks. The cracks. They were considered missing when communication was lost with their ship after they left in 2075 and fell off the radar, so to speak. It's entirely possible they have no idea what's happened in the galaxy the last 110 years. We're treating it as a first contact situation. I think that's a wise and prudent move, because that I was just going to bring that up before we talked about this dispatch. They are probably terrified. Right. They've never met another alien species, presumably.
Right. They've never met the aliens before. And who knows, like, as soon as humans start to show back up again, like going in to meet them, I would not be expecting to see anybody else out there except for the crew that's with me. You know, I know that we've traveled for 100 years to get here. And now these humans can just show up whenever they want. I wouldn't be very trusting of that.
Yeah, right. What if this is some ploy by the aliens? Who knows?
What if they are the shapeshifters?
Yeah, what if they're the shapeshifters? This alien, this blue alien right here, kind of looks human, but with some tentacles on its head. How do we know that that's its true form? And that's like all that speculation is notwithstanding all of the weird kind of social construct lies that could have been peddled to the crew, depending on how long they had to survive at their destination. So, like, let's say that they survived generations, right? The safe lie, if you're in leadership, the safe lie that you might tell your crew is, we've had no contact with Earth. There's reason to believe that there was an extinction event there, and we are the last remnants of humanity.
Oh. I don't like thinking in terms like that. That's just scary sounding. But yeah, I think that is something that people would say just to kind of make sure that everybody keeps the peace. Because if you think that you're only one of 300 that is here to populate a world, you want to keep the peace between everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, could be a convenient lie. Could just be like not even like a lie. They're just mistaken. Like they assumed Earth was gone, right? And it wasn't malice behind that lie, maybe. Anyway, the dispatch goes on and says, accompanying the military will be experts from a variety of fields, including sociologists, anthropologists, linguists, psychologists, geneticists, and a host of supporting medical personnel. I just want to take a quick second to note how proud I am of myself for saying that sentence when I grew up with a speech impediment where I could not say my S's. So that sentence in itself is a feat. I couldn't say my S's, couldn't say my R's. Now I'm on a podcast. Anyway, That's enough of patting my own back. My arm hurts. One anthropologist commented, quote, "It reminds me of those 19th century explorers who discovered tribes deep in the Amazon rainforest. The natives had no idea the wider world existed." So that what was the comparison that I was just making, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I also really like the fact that they brought out the linguists, because language changes so quickly and so rapidly. I mean, you, like, even now with what they're calling like the alpha language, the pop culture phrases, the terminology that kids today are using is very hard. It's very difficult if you don't know what all those words mean to track conversations. And so, and that's just within 10 to 15 years of language evolving.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
the internet has expedited that for sure. But yeah, that's a great point. Can you imagine exposing people like a transatlantic accent New Yorker from 1915 and having them try to sit down and chat with a brain rot 15-year-old now?
Exactly. That conversation would be wild to listen to, and most, they wouldn't understand each other at all. I mean, phrases, sentences.
Also, that 1915 person would have like World War One top of mind. So I wonder what historical events would be top of mind for these people that are totally old and outdated, and no one's thought about them in their terms for quite a while. Anyway, this is also like very reminiscent of Fry from Futurama, right? Waking up a thousand years later.
It is very Fry.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the reasons why I like this story so much, because I was a huge Futurama fan, because there's so much comic potential in freezing someone for an extended amount of years and having them wake up in the future. And that's essentially what these people have done. We still don't know how long they were frozen. But we know that they were lost. They didn't make contact with any other humans, so it's presumable that they didn't make contact with any other intelligent species of aliens in the Milky Way. So I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But like, this would be pretty shocking to them as well.
I agree. Wow, to think about 110 years.
You know, Retrobot has a great point here in chat and says, "I'd bet that they'd get along with Cerberus." You are absolutely right. I bet they would, because there would be a strong fear of aliens, a strong fear of the unknown. And to listen to another group of human beings saying, "We are here just for human advancement." And I can imagine that Cerberus and the elusive man might pepper them with praise for the achievement that they did. Right. On behalf of humanity. And so I can imagine the elusive man jumping on this as a fertile recruiting ground.
Ooh, yeah, definitely. Because, you know, these explorers did go out and do something brand new. They did something in support of humanity and then were forgotten about, you know, and now Cerberus can swoop in going, but we never forgot. We've been searching for you. There's definitely ways to spin this story that Timmy Boy would love to bring all these people on before the Asari get their hooks into them.
Oh, yeah. And trying to expose them to their globalist agenda. I mean, galacticist agenda. Yeah. Anyway, you've heard those kinds of people before, and you're probably going to hear them in about a week at Thanksgiving. And with that, let's go over to the midbreak.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
We have beef, we have bacon, we have beer. The foods of my people.
Young men have funny ideas of what Asari are like. I blame the extranet and computer games.
Rex?
Shepherd.
Grunt?
Shepherd.
Rex?
Grunt?
Here we are in the middle of the show where we read out your five-star reviews, if you've left them. We don't have any new reviews on Apple podcasts to read today, right, Genesis?
No, there were none today.
But we do have a couple of comments that people left on our most recent episode on Spotify, where we broke down the in-7-day news and talked about the TV show and where things could go from there. So Danny Wars 26 writes, "The positive thing we can take away from them taking a longer time developing Mass Effect 5 and learning from the Unreal Engine is that if BioWare is still around to make sequels, they will probably come faster." Yeah. I agree with that. That is a very good silver lining, that if there are sequels that come after this next one, they will come out much quicker, hopefully.
Yeah, because the world will be built, the new setting, the new timeline, the new everything, and of course the actual coding and developing of the game. Once you've learned how to do it and you have your foundations there, you can then just continue to build on when it comes to the next game. So that is a very good point.
Great point, and I think probably gives a decent amount of people some hope. We also have a comment from Madden Mew, who writes, "Maybe the Krogan Civil War is in Andromeda and is the topic of the TV show. That would be amazing and expand on the Andromeda storyline." I guess we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if the Civil War is at least mentioned in the TV show.
Yeah. I mean, we have absolutely no context for the poster. It could be related to the TV show. It could be related to the next game. It could be related to a comic that's coming out. We have absolutely no idea. I wouldn't mind a Civil War comic about the Krogan.
Oh, yeah. I would love more comics. However, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Dark Horse is in kind of bad position right now, right? They're the ones who did the comics before.
They are the ones who did the comics before, but I'm not quite sure on that. I think they just shut down their digital thing. I don't think that they're having any issues because they're still putting out statues and other types of products and things right now.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, that's what I was referencing, that they shut down their digital library. So you can still access what you got from them, but you can't buy anything new. Anyway, that struck me as peculiar that they would do that because it's low overhead, you know, digital. Or at least that's what I would guess. But anyway, those are our reviews. And Genesis, you have a voice line pop quiz for me. The file that she sent me is called Dating Who, and so I'm going to play it here. It's just a 1-second clip. I'll play it twice.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on dating Harbinger. Yeah, I wasn't planning on dating Harbinger.
That is Joker in, oh shit, what's the name of the bar in Mass Effect 3? I'm blanking on it. Is it Purgatory?
Mm-hmm.
That's Joker in Purgatory. When Shepard is talking to him about dating and getting serious with Edie, right?
Yes, that okay. Is exactly right.
All right, yeah, I always set them up together, so I did know that one. All right, I like that one. So we've got a couple of new patrons. You want to shout them out, Genesis?
Yes, we do. Wart, welcome in, Corey. Your email address is amazing, by the way. I'm not going to dox you, but you know what it is. Iceberg Slim. And our newest T4 Patreon, who is able to join us for our Patreon chat at the end of the month, is Fire on Friendly.
All right. Friendly Fire. All right. Well, welcome in, guys. And we do shout out our Tier 5 patrons every week. That's Butts, 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 Unfortunate Benefactor, William, Superfly 440, Retrobot, Lieutenant Tosino, Kira C, and Ed Boy. I'm working on how fast I can say that all together. Say like a pharmaceutical ad disclaimer at the end. But anyway, with that, let's get back to the rest of the show.
After time adrift among open stars, along tides of light and through shoals of dust, I will return to where I began.
Solarian reproduction different, very little sex drive. If intended to try human, would try you.
Ow, my pancreas.
Okay, Genesis, so where we left this was there was a group of sociologists, anthropologists, a lot of ists going to go visit these poor people who have been lost for 110 years. And we don't know how it goes after that, because like they were compared to, you know, tribes discovered deep in the Amazon rainforest, they had no idea that the wider galaxy existed. So what happens next?
Well, it comes up with mixed results. On the 15th, we get another report, and it states, the mission to establish contact with a lost human colony from the Manswell expedition bore mixed results this week. According to Commander John Hayes, Alliance ships landed far from the human settlement so as to not exacerbate an already uncertain situation. He's quoted, "We didn't want a whole armada of ships descending from the sky to spook these people."
Angry caveman shaking fist at sky. Ooga booga.
Nevertheless, the colonists feared an attack when Alliance personnel approached on foot. They put up a spirited defense. A few of our people were wounded, and unfortunately, they suffered a few casualties as well. Why are we killing our own people?
I don't know. And I have also just noticed that my camera on stream has gone out of focus. So I'm a little blurry. You don't need contacts or glasses. That's my fault. I don't know what's happening there.
After the fist shaking?
Let's see. It was the fist shaking. You're right. Anyway, yeah. I'm not surprised at all that the colonists who have been separated from humanity for 110 years, who also abducted a Asari scientist, also decided that they were going to put up what Hayes calls a spirited defense. And it is sad, though, that a few of them died. Or, I guess casualties, it doesn't have to be a death. It could be an injury. So,
true.
Hopefully they didn't die.
I hope not. But I don't know if we get an answer to that. I can read on a little bit more. Once the situation was under control, a dialogue with the colonists was opened. It took some convincing that we were humans from Earth. They suspected an alien plot. Eventually, an Alliance representative was allowed into their camp to make contact with their leader and check on the condition of their Asari prisoner. Details are pending.
See, you called this earlier. Did you already know this lore?
Actually, I didn't. I didn't read through this stuff, so it's interesting.
Yeah, just a fourth wall breaking for everyone who listens to the show. Sometimes with these Cerberus Daily News things, it's actually better and more entertaining for you all if we don't know the story prior. So we will purposefully not read through it before we go on air so that you get our honest and genuine reactions and thoughts right out of the gate. But I'm sorry, Genesis, go ahead.
No, that was the end of this this entry that we have here. But the suspecting an alien plot thing, like I said, that's what I would do too. I would be suspicious of, I've been gone for 100 years. How did these other humans get here so fast?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, where the hell were you guys? especially that it happens after they abducted the Asari scientist. Mm-hmm. So they could be fearing retribution.
Now, I wonder if the Asari is able to speak human English and was able to talk to them. Or how, with an Omni tool. I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, with an Omni tool, she'd at least be speaking English as its contemporary in 2185.
True. But does that only work if you have an Omni tool as a receiver to do that to gather that information?
You're right. I think you need an Omni tool as a recipient as well. It's been a long time since we covered that on the Lorecast, and I can't remember. But I think you're right. Maybe they're just hearing a series of weird alien screams and they think that it's like hostile of the Asari. Oh, man. I don't know. There is a speaker in an Omni tool, though. We do know that. We know that, yeah, from Tally, like Mass Effect 1.
The holo calls and things like that, too. And yeah, Tally is able to put Saren's voice out on speakerphone.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that she was at least able to communicate a little bit with these humans, but they were probably extremely suspicious and didn't listen to her anyway. Or maybe they bound her and gagged her. I don't know.
Or maybe they weren't trying to take prisoner. They were just trying to take an ambassador in order to build further communication.
That's a really positive way to look at that. So, all right. I'm hoping that the Asari prisoner is okay, because the last that we hear from that dispatch is that these incredibly suspicious humans who already abducted that Asari scientist and wounded the welcoming party of humans who tried to help, that we don't know the condition of their Asari prisoners. So we get an update here just a couple days later. And it says, more news today out of the Alpha Centauri system, where an Alliance mission has made contact with a lost human colony of explorers from the Manswell expedition of 2070. To say these people are in a state of shock would be an understatement, said Commander John Hayes. Quote, nearly 120 years of history has passed them by. When they left Earth, nobody knew aliens even existed. So the way that humanity learned that aliens existed outside of this group was through the Mars archives.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we learned about the Protheans, and we learned that we're not alone in the galaxy. And I think that the Protheans not physically being there made it a little bit more palatable.
I agree. I think that reading and learning and through archaeology and paleontology and just discovering all that information would make it a little bit more easier and more expected. Because you go out there and you travel in space and it's into the unknown. You don't know if you're going to find anything. We go to Mars, our next closest planet, and we learn that there have been other alien species here before. It means that when we go out there, we will find somebody. We will be able to contact somebody. It's just, it would make it a little bit easier. Unfortunately, we met the Taurians first, and that was not so easy.
Yeah. Fortunate for these people that they met the Asari. Absolutely. And speaking of that Asari prisoner that they held, the prisoner has been released and is in good condition. Quote, they were understandably spooked by the Asari. Who wouldn't be, seeing a biotic alien for the first time? In fact, I want to personally thank the Asari for her restraint in this matter. She could have fought her way out, but once she understood the situation these people were in, she was patient and let the Alliance resolve the situation. And that was a quote from Commander John Hayes. I feel like they didn't just luck out running into the Asari, but they lucked out running into a scientist who was able to realize what was going on, and not an Asari commando.
Right. Well, and at the beginning of this, we talked about how this was an Asari research party going to go check on a potential new species on this planet. So they kind of already were prepped to be in a state of, we have nothing, we have no idea about these people. We want to go in and do research and gather data and intel. I don't believe that they would have sent a fighting squad down as a first contact species.
I'm trying to think about other ways that 300 humans might react right after finding an Asari. And I gotta say, 300 humans, you know, at least one of them tried to sleep with her.
I hope that they did not try to sleep with their prisoner, their captive.
Well, that's why I said tried, not like, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
Because the Asari are apparently, you know, attractive to everybody.
Yeah. There were definitely more than a handful of those humans who were attracted to her. Yeah. Very easily.
Yeah. Sneaking down to the prison again, are you, Jenkins? Yeah, I just...
Look at her, sir.
Yeah, I was just, you know, fascinated. Anyway. So... anyway, I'm glad that they brought sociologists with them, because this is going to be a very difficult integration into the Milky Way society.
Because you've got to make that decision. Do you reintegrate or do you stay a part of this colony on Alpha Centauri? And that's what our next article talks about the Manswell expedition colonists decide their next steps. Some closure today in the case of the lost colonists of the Manswell expedition. After educating the colonists on the state of galactic affairs, Alliance personnel asked the group where they wished to live. Nearly half of them voted to stay on the planet, with one of them saying, "Everything has changed so much that I don't see how I could ever go back. Mass relays, the Citadel, robot wars? I wouldn't know what to make of any of that. I feel like a caveman seeing New York for the first time."
Shaking an angry caveman fist. Yeah, honestly, I mean, yeah, getting briefed on 115, not just 110 years of human history, but thousands of years of galactic history. Yeah, they're going to need some time to think about that. I would venture to guess that some of the people, of the half of them that voted to stay on the planet, eventually some of those people, I think, will warm up to the idea of integrating into the rest of the galaxy. Even if they decide to just continue living on that planet, I think they probably want to interact a little bit more. Just need to give them a little bit of time to warm up to that idea.
Absolutely. I think that I see both sides of it, how, you know, staying on this new planet and learning everything new and kind of establishing yourself now in this new world, this new normal, rather than trying to go back and see what the updated Earth is like. I think it's also, I mean, it's the Jovic question. Do you allow all of your memories back in, altered and changed now with all the updated information? Or do you let the past stay in the past and hold the memories of what you knew Earth to be stay as that?
That's what I was going to say. Did any of them want to go back to Earth? Because I feel like they probably faced enough challenges that they were like, you know what, just send me back to Earth. It's probably different enough, but at least it's Earth.
We do have the other side of the argument. Now, others were eager to rejoin galactic life. "I have just discovered one of my descendants is still alive," another colonist explained. "How weird will that be, going back to see him?"
Okay, Fry going to see Professor Farnsworth, but go on.
Yeah? Oh, man. An Alliance sociologist said that they will help the colonists assimilate into modern life if they choose to return to Earth. Follow-up interviews and seeing how they adjust should be fascinating, she said.
Interesting. I would venture to guess that these humans have a lot of views and beliefs that are considered problematic by, like, contemporary humans on Earth.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I would hope by 2077 that a lot of things that we consider problematic right now are no longer problems in the future. And so hopefully those views are not as prevalent. But I could definitely see that. And I guess you would just really have to learn how to acclimate and get rid of a lot of your old feelings and ways of thinking. I do like the idea of this person going back and finding out that they still have family members alive, a descendant. Maybe it's your grandkid or something like that.
I was just thinking about this, that they would be returning to Earth expecting to find the geopolitics of when they left. And 2075 was before a lot of stuff changed. It was before the Alliance became like a supranational government of Earth. It was before, or I should say, supernatural government of humanity for colonies off Earth. But there were still countries that the borders changed, they consolidated, they became like the Federation of North American States, right? That's what the United States and Canada and Mexico became after the Second American Civil War. And there would be a lot of different geopolitics where they might be expecting to go back to their home country, but their home country doesn't technically exist anymore.
That, I think, would be a big factor on whether or not I went back. Like, I obviously, I can't go back to my home. My home was rented out, destroyed, whatever, 100 years ago. But coming back to my land, the city that I've grown up in, and to know that it would be completely different, I don't know if I would want to, because, like, specifically, I hold Portland and it's so dear into my heart. And if I were to find out that things had so drastically and radically changed in that 100-year span, I would want to hold my Portland in my head and in my heart rather than see if it wildly changed.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a really hard reckoning. And not just the emotional reckoning, but can you imagine the bureaucratic headache that would last for weeks, or months, maybe even years of going back to Earth and they're like, okay, you know, where's your passport? You know, where are you a citizen of? Nowhere? Oh, okay. Yeah, there, we literally don't have any birth certificate of you anymore or anything like that. You know, your birth certificate here says that you were born in 2020. What the hell? Like, you know?
Wow. Okay. So hopefully I left some money in that Swiss bank account that has a really high interest rate. Because, I mean, there's all those logistics. I mean, this is a Marvel movie unto itself about the people who had to blip back, and that was only 5 years. And all the logistics that went into reestablishing their own lives. But that's what we can equate this to if those people do go back to Earth.
Oh, it'd be a, I think that would be a headache after headache after headache in terms of paperwork. I would just go to the Citadel. Honestly, like, because clearly the council's aware of what happened. They're probably going to lend more assistance, I would guess, than Earth. Because different territories and different countries on Earth, I can just imagine this. They're just going to shuffle it off to each other. Oh, this isn't my responsibility. We don't know who they are, you know?
Yep. This would be a lot of that, and going in and just getting a galactic ID is probably a lot easier than trying to reestablish my social security number.
Yeah, I think I would do that, and then I would go to like a year of counseling because I would definitely need it. And like, if I could do like a telehealth counseling with a therapist on Earth, I think that'd probably be like the best scenario.
Oh, I like that. Getting a little bit of Earth connection through them and figuring and learning that way how things are going. I really wish that we knew how long they were in cryo for.
Yeah.
With Andromeda, they say that they wake up and it felt like no time. They knew that time had passed, but it's not like you feel 500 years older, you know, when it comes to Andromeda. So with this, it could feel like they just left Earth a couple of weeks ago, you know, and that's where they're at. I would love if there were more information to know how long they've been on the planet, how established they were. And obviously, if you have enough, if your camp is able to hold a prisoner, it means that you have to be established in some way, because an Asari would not just sit in a tent and be okay with the situation.
Yeah, exactly. So that is the biggest question, I think. But I think we can deduce a number of things from the way that the Cerberus Daily News storyline unfolded. Because it's such a shock to their system, comparing what they knew about the world, Earth, and what they knew about the galaxy before and after, I think it's a safe assumption to say that this is still completely the same generation that left. Mm-hmm. So they have been in cryo for at least like 80 years, maybe more.
Yeah, that's probably a good assumption.
Right. So they don't talk about, you know, having kids or introducing their kids to this. I would guess that it's 80, 90 years or more. So who knows? Maybe we'll run into someone in the next Mass Effect who was part of this expedition, right? That would be a really funny interaction, running into one of these people. Who knows?
Oh, that would be interesting, just to throw in a little bit of lore. If you know moments, you know, maybe you walk around and you find somebody named Manswell. And so if you know, you know.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But that pretty much wraps it up for the Victor Manswell expedition. This has been a really fun topic, Genesis. And I think we've been talking about this. We're going to cover some of Cerberus's heinous experiments. And I think we're going to go back and forth between those and maybe some Cerberus Daily News and some characters who are connected to those experiments. That I think that should probably take us into the new year.
I agree, because Cerberus has definitely done some evil things. But when we can, we will sprinkle some lighthearted stuff in there, because I don't know if I can do evil for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Been a long year.
Yeah. And, you know, Christmas episodes should not be evil Cerberus actions. We'll think of something lighthearted to do.
Maybe we could go over and talk about Biota Ball, right? That's what it's called? The Biota Ball tournament? Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's for next time. Until next time, yeah. Spectres, we should go.
Thanks for listening to the Mass Effect Lorecast. Reach out to us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Discord, Patreon, or email us at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Join us next week for more lore. Same space, same time. Or check out our live streams at twitch.tv/masseffectlorecast.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.
Have you tried going back and playing the games you played as a kid?
We're talking nostalgia overload, fun facts, and seeing if we can remember how to beat games we haven't played in 30 years.
Come join us. Retro Recall is all about nostalgia and reliving those years of zero responsibility.
Each episode, John makes me play a game from our youth, and I challenge him to do something in that game, and then the loser has to try one of the worst games ever made.
It's fun, it's terrible, but most of all, it's a look back at simpler times.
In the first episode, we try Double Dragon 2, and let's just say that John is still having nightmares about some of the terrible games he had to play.
You say that, but I'm not the only one. Ghoul School?
Dear God.
Check out Retro Recall on YouTube and your favorite audio podcast platforms.
There are links in the main show description, or just search Retro Recall.
Retro Recall. Come join us. Games are always better with friends.
Retro Recall.